The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. In other news that we must cover here, as it's the Friday show. Then this week has flown by. Oh, it's because it was a four-day work week. Dick's Sporting Goods announced on Wednesday that their recent endorsement of gun control policies and hiring of gun control lobbyists has hurt their sales of firearms and hunting accessories. This is where the Sherlock comment comes in.
What would that be? What comment would that be precisely, Samantha Bee?
No blank, Sherlock.
Okay.
The company did not reveal specifics about how much their firearms business had fallen during the first quarter earnings, but said it was directly connected to the decision to embrace certain gun control policies. As expected, our firearms policy changes impacted our hunting business, which saw an accelerated decline in an already challenged category. The CEO told analysts, we expect these businesses to remain under significant pressure throughout the remainder of the year. Well, I would say the remainder of the year and next year and the year after and the year after that. The store announced in February it would be reinstituting a ban on sales of AR-15s and similar rifles, as well as certain firearms magazines, after abandoning a nearly identical policy it announced in 2012. The company then embraced gun control, banning the sale of firearms to adults under 21 years of age and hiring lobbyists to advocate for stricter gun control laws. Well, when you stop selling guns and you when you stop selling, that's like a car dealership saying, well, we decided to stop selling these cars. Well, we're seeing a decline in sales.
Exactly. Because
no blank Sherlock.
I saw that, the story, and I thought, okay, now there is a little bit of political backlash and reaction because...
Of course there are, yes.
But your customer base is basically saying, some of them are saying, okay, this is political and we don't want to do business with you anymore. But many of them are saying, okay, well, if you're not going to deal in that, then that's really, you know, why I went there. Then I'll go somewhere else to get not only that product or, you know, the ammunition. I'll get the accessories. I'll get, you know, whatever it is. I'll find a new place to buy all my stuff in that category. It's pretty simple. When you reduce your inventory, sales go down.
Breaking news. Tom Brokaw, formerly NBC Nightly News. Reducing inventory reduces sales. Back to you.
You know, since you brought that up, very quickly here.
Yeah.
Just on a side note, I'm trying to find it here as I'm going through all my stories because you just reminded me of that particular story. There it is. CBS may boot Jeff Glor from the evening news. You're saying who? That's exactly the point.
Jeff Glor.
Is Jeff Glor headed out of CBS? Page 6. From the New York Post is told that just 6 months after Glor took over the anchor of the CBS Evening News, execs at the network are already thinking about replacing him. Sources said that after Glor lost nearly 1.5 million viewers since his debut in December of 2017, top brass told him and his producers that they need to turn things around quickly. Insiders said that they're not happy with the direction of the show that the CBS News president, David Rhodes, unleashed on the team.
Yeah.
Some of the anger has been directed at the new executive producer. Well, since I haven't watched CBS Evening News or any of the evening news, and I don't know. The last time, my parents watched it, so maybe a year ago when I was at my parents' house, they had maybe some of the nightly news on. Because they just refused to get cable. They could afford cable, they just refused to get it.
Right,
so they,
right, yeah.
Watch the nightly news, which I just go, oh, God, please don't do. Well, I can't watch this. Jeff Glor taking over for Scott Pelley, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So, and the fact that I went, oh, yeah, that guy. And you know the only reason I know who he is?
What?
What would be a reason I would know who Jeff Glor is?
He's from Buffalo?
Yep. See, you knew. He's from Buffalo.
So. So everyone in Buffalo is going, oh, that's too bad.
That's how I remember they were writing about it in one of the publications there about that how he had got the. And again, he was a Bills fan, and he was going to bring the same thing what's his name did to NBC to meet the press.
Sleepy Todd? Chuck Todd?
No.
Oh, you mean Tim Russert?
Tim Russert. I got mine blanked.
Okay.
Tim Russert, yes.
Okay. You mean something positive to meet the press?
Because Tim Russert, remember Tim right. Russert, where I would say go Bills at the end of it.
Oh.
He's from Buffalo.
He was going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, he's.
I didn't know
he was going to make sure, that, because they said, you're still going to bring up the Bills like Tim Russert did on NBC?
Hmm. Okay. I see.
That's what they're concerned about.
Oh.
We don't care about whether you do good news.
Yeah, we don't care about
the
good
bills
work.
Up.
Yeah, just say go Bills at the end of the broadcast.
You're at CBS. We know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
So
we lost hope. We're Bills fans. We lost hope for good work a long time ago.
We're not expecting good journalism. Just promote our sports team for us once in a while, won't you?
I mean, frankly, during the Tim Russert years, all the Bills fans were asking how they could buy a Russert jersey.
I think it was.
There's something to cheer for.
I think it was, and still, by the way, my highlight of the week, really, and I talked about this on Monday's show, but I got to repeat it again because the special moments you have to repeat. Where there I am in Florida, and this is last Saturday.
Right.
And visiting my buddy Jerry and his lovely wife Mary, who Jerry I was a bill collector in college with. We've been friends since. And so Jerry tells me, well, look, Saturday we got to go to the Turtle in Tarpon Springs, Florida, because all my British buddies are going to be there watching the big soccer match. And yes, all I could think of was, so I married an axe murderer, just so you know, Eric. The movie, the soccer scene there. That's all I thought of.
Right.
And I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, they're expecting me. I said, oh, yeah, like, yeah, sure they are. And so it's like, no, we got to go there. It's Liverpool against Madrid. It's like, really? I haven't watched an entire soccer game. I'm coming to Florida to watch soccer. He goes, look, it's rain. It's pouring out anyway. What else are you going to do? And I went, okay.
Subtropical storm is out there. Alberto's forcing you to watch soccer. That's how bad that storm was.
That's how bad it was. So, you know, I haven't watched soccer since the women beat China and Brandi Chastain, you know, threw off her top. Remember that controversy back then?
Right.
And so I said, okay. So I'm thinking, you know, he might be exaggerating it just a little bit, the whole soccer thing.
Right.
So we're driving there. The phone rings. It's one of the British guys. Where are you? Where are you? Come on. We're waiting for you. The match is about to begin.
I love it.
And I could just hear him a little bit, but I don't know why, but I thought of, so I married an axe murderer, and I put that Scottish accent on a guy from Liverpool in my head. And so we got there, and still we had to wait early because they were trying to do like Super Bowl kind of entertainment that everybody was laughing at because we were saying, all us Americans were saying, stop trying to imitate the Super Bowl with cheesy acts. And they were just getting into it. And so, but we got there and they gave my buddy Jerry, they gave him a Liverpool jersey and everything else. And then Liverpool got beat. Two horrible goals. I mean, just horrendous goals, something that you would see from my teams. And at the end, they're just, you know, really, really sad, especially Tommy. He just got his hands in his head. The only thing we could say to him is, we lost four Super Bowls in a row, so we can relate to any Liverpool soccer fan.
No, I think that's why Jerry had you come along. Look, if they lose badly or for really bad reasons, I got Gary. Listen, you guys need to cheer up because look at Gary. Gary, tell him. Exactly. Yeah, that's no problem. Jerry, your buddy knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes, so that was one of the highlights of my week, and I watched the whole soccer game. It was interesting. I mean, I can see why people like it, but it's just too slow for me.
Yeah,
it's like watching slow hockey. what it is.
You know, okay, but slow hockey with Marvin Gaye music. Okay, that's just weird. Never mind.
I'm not sure where you're going there, and I don't think I want to know.
I don't even know.
The other thing I want to bring up here, this is a really interesting, just completely off anything that we've been talking about most of the week, is you see where Walmart is now offering college tuition to employees for $1 a day.
But you have to have a coupon.
Three different universities. Now, that works out to about $75 per semester, but okay. You can go to one of three schools that all have online degrees you can get. University of Florida in Gainesville,
okay.
Brandman University in California, and Bellevue University in Nebraska. All three are nonprofit universities that have online for working adults. Now, if you're going to go just individually, wow. Bellevue, $7,000
okay.
annual tuition. University of Florida, $28,000 for out-of-state people.
Okay.
They don't have one for the other university, but you have to study business or supply chain management. Those are the only two courses you can take.
I mean,
and what they're hoping is to retain you,
right?
You know, that if you work there in a lower level position, that you can go to college and you can move up through the company. And you and I had this discussion in one of our mid-show or pre-show meetings about the fact that what they're looking for is they're looking at 10 years down the road and 5 years down the road and saying, where are we going to find the management of the future?
Well, and that's what it's about. I mean, you know, Walmart, like, regardless of how big they are, is going to have to compete. They know that. Every company does. Every major company has to compete for the workforce. But you got to compete for leadership. Here's the difference, too, is that it's a very specific kind of leadership, because when you talk about supply chain management, that's a big deal. Because if you look at the supply chain that Sam Walton himself, you know, that was what he wanted to focus on. It's that supply chain. I call it a proprietary supply chain, but it isn't technically speaking, but that's the idea. You know, his thought was to really control that supply chain, which is what most retailers do now. They've always done it, but they really kind of take after that Sam Walton model, many of them. And it's how you control your costs. And when you can do that, you can control your inventory better, of course, not just to make sure that you get it cheaper and you can pass the savings along, but you're trying to get it there on time. You're trying to make sure that your shelves are filled. I got to be honest with you. I've seen something recently, and I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what's causing it. But lots of voids on the shelves at Walmart. Retail in general has had some supply chain issues. And Walmart has, I think, acknowledged some of those supply chain issues. I don't know if that's what's going on, or maybe they're just such a great demand at the stores I'm going to. It's anecdotal evidence, so I have no idea what's going on. It's just, it's a question. Or maybe it's always been that way, and I just didn't notice. I doubt that's the case. One of my first jobs was in a grocery store, and one of the things you do is you face the aisle. You make it look full all the time because you want to make those customers feel like they're getting the most choice. They have, you know, the most choice at any given location. And I think there's some supply chain issues going on there that continue to, you know, damage any company that has such issues. If you can get a great degree, and who knows, they're not saying you don't have to sign a lifetime contract with the company.
No, you can take that on. No, you can quit whatever time, and you have to pay, you can continue the courses. You have to pay for them on your own, though,
right,
after you quit. But you're thinking about it, two semesters, $150 a year, four-year degree costs you less than $1,000.
Right. And what you would spend likely in a vending machine each day.
Yes.
On snacks.
Yep. And you can get yourself a business degree.
That's and even for part-time employees.
Yep.
That's a good deal. Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, you need a tuning solution? Bully Dog Big Rig now has ECM tuning starting at $9.99. Justin Burt from Bully Dog fills us in.
We did some market research last year and listened to a bunch of the drivers out there and kind of realized that pricing was super important to some of the fellows on the road and readjusted some of our approach to the pricing in the market.
Justin tells us about the good, better, and best solution.
So the good applications for our ECM tuners would be our Watchdog, which just is a monitoring device for the drivers to keep an eye on the essential aspects of the truck, boost, heat, temperature, and the turbo and the exhaust and the coolant, things like that. Better would be our ECM tuner, which is where our actual aftermarket ECM calibrations come into play. That's a tuner that allows the driver to plug into their data port, load one of three pre-loaded dyno-tested calibrations that would give them either economy, power, or the third setting is an economy slash power tune, which gives them a little bit of both worlds. The best aspect would be the heavy-duty GT tuner, which is basically the Watchdog and ECM tuner into one unit. So we've got monitoring capabilities, and you've also got those three preloaded calibrations for your application that'll give you fuel mileage or power or a little bit of both. So the website, bigrig.bullydog.com.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Michael in Woodbridge, Virginia. Michael, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to briefly talk with regards to tariffs.
Yes.
There's plenty of economic arguments we made for or against them. Me personally, I don't agree with them. But that being said, I think Friedrich Hayek said it best, where the fatal conceit is believing that we know more than we actually do. But nobody ever really wants to talk about arguing against it from a moral perspective. Everybody on the conservative right, and I consider myself a conservative, lost their collective minds with regards to healthcare when Obamacare was passed, because they went, I don't want to be forced to pay for somebody else's healthcare when they've made poor health decisions. But then all of a sudden, when things get flipped, they want us to use our tax money to pay for companies that are not operating as efficiently as they could be. And basically, the government is saying they know how to spend my money better than I do.
Yeah. And they know how to control people's lives and business better than you do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what irritates me is that I'm willing to set aside taxes. That's a whole nother argument. But as opposed to with taxes, where they're actively misspending my money or spending it, depending, because there are certain things they spend it on that I think should be spent on, they're now actively going into my life and saying, hey, we know we've already taxed you. But on top of that, those things you're spending money on, we're going to need you to pay more for.
Right.
So whereas I've already lost my money to taxes or benefited, depending on where you fall on that spectrum. But now they're sitting there saying, hey, on top of that, you need to spend more for what you choose to spend your money on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, all I'm saying is I feel like there's economic arguments for and against. Thomas Sowell. Again, the whole unintended consequences and all of that.
Right. Then there's a moral argument also about the fact that they're taking money from you in order because of their opinion, not because of fact, but because of an opinion that we wish to boost up these businesses while at the same time hurting people over here, and we're going to tax you to do it. It's just going to be a hidden tax through a tariff.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people are much more, it's like the slow boil with the frog. If you put a frog in a pot and you slowly boil it, whereas everybody, when there's a vote on tax raises or tax cuts, everybody gets actively involved because it's a shock
right.
to their system
right.
or their income.
Right.
Whereas with tariffs, it's just a little bit here you're going to pay, you know, we subsidize oil, so you're going to pay 10 cents more for a gallon here. 5 cents more on the soda that you didn't realize because the trucking company has to pay more for gas. All
right.
that, and it's a slow boil
right.
where people don't even realize that, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Except
Thank you, Michael.
Except we don't subsidize oil.
No, there's right. not a subsidy. By the way, we're against the blend subsidies
yes,
in terms of the mandates on those blends and the renewable fuels.
They're trying to save society. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning and welcome. And I think the last caller brought up a great point. And on today's show, we've been talking about the economics of tariffs, which is extremely important because that's the argument that's being made. This somehow benefits us, and we like getting into the economics. But the moral case is what the last caller was saying, and I think he made a great point by stating, look, everybody lost it when Obama came out with the mandate.
Right.
That you've got to have health care, and if you don't, you're going to get fined. People objected to that. How dare you tell me that I have to do something? And he said, well, think about what tariffs are. Tariffs are basically saying, in this case, the president's saying, I want to protect this small part of an industry. And in doing so, I'm going to put a tax on things that you buy that you have no choice. You have to pay this tax. And because I'm going to attempt to protect this segment, I'm going to hurt all these people over here, but I'm going to tax you in order to do it. And I, as a politician, am going to make that decision.
I'm going to impose tariffs instead of building a wall and making Mexico pay for it. I'm going to impose tariffs. I'm going to protect this industry and make you pay for it.
Right. And he said, and he makes a point, people, the same people that went ballistic over an individual mandate that says you have to do something are like, well, no, this is all good. And that's the point when you talk about the morality of it. And the reason I brought up, and I do it for a particular reason, when I said, you know, when you have the central planners in the central government, what I'm doing is I'm if anybody's caught on, I'm using the communist phrasing of central planning. Because we have had many people say, well, you know, most people couldn't run, but Trump can run an economy. No, he can't.
No, he can't. He can run a business, running an economy.
Yeah, he can't run the United States economy. I can't. There isn't anybody on the planet Earth that's ever lived, no matter how genius, it can run the United States economy. That's why we have free markets, because central planning, communism, the government dictating, whether it's a dictator, an individual person, a president, a Congress, a parliament, a Politburo, it doesn't matter. They can't run an economy.
A pentaveret.
A pentaveret. They can't run it, you know, to a success. And it's just foolishness for people to believe that anyone can. And so, but I'm just glad the last caller brought up the morality of it, how we would go crazy over this type of tax, but keep it hidden and say it benefits a group of people without ignoring the people that it hurts.
Because we're not talking about a type of one product. We're talking about the basis, the materials of production, the base materials of production. That's what we're talking about. The base materials that go into the tools for production. So not only what you're producing, but the tools that you use to produce what you're producing.
Of some of the biggest industries manufacturers in America, which are automobile and airplane, that will be affected the most, that will give every incentive now for those companies to do what? To move out. So what's the next thing that you do? Well, since we have taxed and increased the price of steel, not even to this point, it's been 40% so far this year. Now it's going to go up even more with putting it on Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. Well, then what we're going to do so you can't move is we're going to put extra tariffs on top of any automobiles that come in. So we're going to force you to stay here. We're going to force you to produce a product at an extremely high price. And we're going to force the American consumer to only be able to purchase that product at an extremely high price. That's a good thing?
I don't know where the win is.
As we've said, explain to us where the win is. And as you had Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee come out, and this is a great point, we made this point earlier. He blasted President Trump, the Republican from Tennessee, for moving to slap tariffs, calling it an abuse of authority only intended for national security purposes. Corker called the tariffs a wrong approach to trade, saying that Trump should work with the United States' most important trading partners instead of taking action against them. If we truly want a level playing field for American companies, we should be working with our friends and allies to target those actually responsible for tipping the markets in their favor. Mm. I'm sure he's talking about China.
Right.
Yeah. At that point. But, that's something that was brought up before. I mean, look, Congress, it's your fault. You gave the executive branch wide authority. What does national security mean? Now, is the president morally, in my opinion, abusing his power? Yes. Legally, is he? No.
No.
Because the president, just like as we have said, if you're going to be consistent, you have to be consistent. If the president can, for national security reasons, have a travel ban, well, then, of course, when it comes to trade on national security, the president can have on trade. The Congress has given him the authority to deal with trade if it's national security concerns. Now, he's using it. He's not explaining what those national security concerns are. That's the problem.
Right,
that's the
right.
moral dilemma of this president. That's why he can't explain it, because he knows, and we know, and he knows it's a lie if he tries to actually come out and say we're doing it for national security purposes, because we're not. You are much. That was blown out of the water the first time they said they were going to do it, because we all know that if you're making steel, that's extremely important. And I think I said close to 80%. I think it's closer to 75% of our steel we actually produce here of our own steel right now in the United States. Right. And so if you produce 75% of your steel and you're getting the other 25% from trusted allies, actually, that's more of a benefit to your national security, because it's always better to have 3 or 4 or 5 supply chains in case you do go to war and one supply chain is knocked out.
Right.
So that argument was blown out of the water. That's the problem, is the president isn't telling us the truth on this. If you wish, many callers have called and said, well, he's doing this to renegotiate NAFTA. He's not saying that.
No.
He's not using that argument.
No,
he's not
look,
saying that.
And we leave it up to the president and his administration to make the case and say, listen, the American people deserve to understand what's going on here and why we're doing this, why this is as important, and why we believe it will be beneficial.
Right.
What we're trying to get out of it, what we're trying to accomplish, it's up to the president and his administration to make the case.
And when you enact a policy that already has increased steel prices by 40% since the beginning of this year, as pointed out by the Wall Street Journal, that will skyrocket them more, you should be honest with the American people as to why you're doing it.
Right.
Because we see people calling left and right, dude, and emailing us. Well, he's doing it because, and I have to write back to them, especially the emailers, he's doing this because he wants to renegotiate NAFTA. Not what he's saying.
That's not what we're hearing from the administration.
He's saying he's doing it for, if he believes he has the point, then make that point to the American people. He's claiming it's national security,
right,
but won't explain why it is national security.
Exactly. Tell us.
Yeah.
Make the point. Make your case.
And if you're going to enact a policy that's going to hurt the American economy, you owe it to the American people to be upfront. He claims he's blunt and was going to be straight with the American people. He has not been at all. He's been all over the place on tariffs, to the point of 2 weeks ago telling the American people how he was so concerned about manufacturing jobs in China.
Yeah. Will he be as concerned when the governor of a state calls him? He said he just spoke with President Xi and they're going to work a deal to get ZTE back in the game, because they're losing too many jobs in China. What about a state? What about a governor?
Well, let's use one state that will probably be hurt more than any other state with these tariffs, and it will be the state of Texas.
With a great governor named Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott takes the call, will you say we need to protect the jobs in Texas?
Right.
Or China more important here?
Right.
Got to ask that question.
Just asking.
We're responding to simply what the president has said. We have made no assumptions here. Nothing. Yeah. We have added nothing to this. We are simply responding to what the president has said, and we're not going to try to figure out and play 12-dimensional chess with him.
No.
When you enact a plan that will hurt the economy of the United States, you, as president of the United States, are obligated to tell the American people why and tell them the absolute truth about it. not enact it for one reason and then not justify it. And as we see here, the vast majority of the response we got today, well, he's renegotiating NAFTA. Well, no, he's not saying that.
He's not making that case.
Not making that case.
Look, whether they're accurate or not, our listeners are making better cases in a short time than the president or anyone on his in his administration has made. The Commerce Secretary, the market will adjust. Really? I mean, I'd be a billionaire if I had a dollar for every time Wilbur Ross sat in on a CNBC show before becoming Commerce Secretary. You know, I'd be a billionaire if I had a dollar for every time he did that. I might slightly be exaggerating here, but I'd be rich. I'd be much better off if I didn't gamble it. And he makes that comment, oh, the market will adjust. Okay, then let's impose massive taxation on companies.
Yeah.
That they will adjust.
They will adjust.
They'll absorb it. Where did we hear that before?
I don't know.
Windfall profits tax on oil companies. They're greedy, so we need to tax them. Well, they'll just pass that along to you. No, they'll just absorb it. Oh, so they're not greedy. what?
As we have said, whether it's a Democrat government or a Republican government, central planners can't run the economy. Doesn't work that way. That's why we form this nation, so we don't do that.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, our favorite story of the day, which we haven't got to, which we had to. All right? Market Watch. Right. Are you ready for this?
What do you got?
Like Roseanne. Now get ready to be fearful here. Like Roseanne. Mm. All Americans are just one bad tweet away from being fired.
Really?
Oh, no. Eric, I've just realized after doing talk radio, for 29 years this October, I'm just one sentence away from being fired.
Actually, Gary McNamara.
Actually, you're one word away from being fired.
I'm one word away from being fired.
I think we know what that word is, too. I think we know what it is. We all know what it is.
Doofus. All Americans are just one bad tweet away from being fired.
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Really? Really? Did you come up with that yourself?
Yeah. Now wow. I'm scared. I didn't realize how frightening this society is.
We're just one bad tweet away from being fired. I'm one good tweet away from being fired.
Look, I just love this here from Market Watch. Roseanne discovered tweeting can upend your life, and employers are on high alert in this polarized political climate.
They're on high alert. Dun, 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 dun. All right, calm down, everybody. Calm down. Give me a break. I'm surprised they took that route with it, though, because typically it would be, how many racists are really in Hollywood? I mean, that would be, you know what I mean? Because,
well, it is Market Watch doing it, which is more like better watch out for your job. You better watch out what you tweet.
Yeah, I guess, you know, but and I guess that's the focus is that you could lose your whole career of it. There's a number of reasons you could lose your career. Number one, it's possible that you really suck at what you do. Look, our audience going, really?
We know.
He said that out of all people to make that observation? Where's that Sherlock moment again?
We're just going to call them Sherlock moments.
Sherlock.
From now on, okay?
Just now, call,
that way we... That
a red-eye Sherlock moment.
Talk about being one word away from losing your job. Let's just call it a Sherlock moment from
and
now.
And now another Sherlock moment. But that's, you know, I mean, look, we're all just one thing away from something else. You know, I mean, how many How many, you know, times could you apply that?
Do you know when you're driving?
You're one cup of bleach away from being poisoned.
Do you know how many times I'm driving down the road at 70 miles an hour and I'm just 3 feet away from total massive injury?
Traveling at 75 trauma? Miles an hour.
And I'm just three,
inches away from
just
other
inches
cars.
Away from other cars.
Yes, right.
Just one wrong move in my life,
right,
as I know it, has changed forever.
Right. And still people text and drive at 75 miles an hour.
Now that Eric and I have you sufficiently paranoid in your mind for this Friday, we've
have
done our job.
Have a great day. Enjoy the day.
Enjoy
that. Don't worry one bit.
But just remember that one mistake could be your last.
Yes. And by the way, if you make that mistake, make sure you publicize it.
I guess it all, we can encompass it with our phrase.
Mm-hmm.
We're doomed.
Yeah, we are.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. In the news today, well, look at the headline in Politico.com, Republicans gobsmacked by Trump's tariffs. GOP lawmakers thought the president was going to hit China, not key friendly U.S. allies. They said starting on Wednesday afternoon, they started getting the idea that, he's going in a completely opposite direction.
Right.
Here, and they're just absolutely furious. We have mentioned throughout the morning different Republicans in the leadership positions and conservatives that have said this is just totally and completely unacceptable what the president is doing. You and I have talked about the fact that, you know, look, we've had many calls and much response, people saying he's doing this in order to negotiate NAFTA. It's not what he's saying.
No.
Everybody's saying that's why he's doing it. That's not what he's saying. The official position is we're doing it for national security. Now, the whole thing is everybody knows that's not true. That's the thing. Everybody knows that's not true. The president cannot make that point that he's doing it on national security grounds, morally. Legally, he can because there is no definition of national security.
No. You can claim it.
Right. Congress said, okay, national security reasons, you can do it. He's national security reasons. Are there really national security reasons? No, you can't make that point economically or strategically that it is a national security risk. To have Canada, Mexico, and the European Union as importers of steel to the United States. You can't make that. In fact, just the opposite. The fact that we have four, five, or six dependable, loyal, friendly U.S. allies that also produce steel that we use actually increases the amount of a supply chain that you want in a time of national security. If we were in that time of national security, you want a more expansive supply chain, not a narrow supply chain.
Right.
Anybody who knows anything about strategy when it comes to national security understands that. So that, to many conservatives, is just outrageous. Pat Toomey saying he's abusing his executive power on it because everybody knows there is no national security risk with getting steel from Canada, Mexico, or the European Union. None. This is a quote here. This begins and ends at the top. This is a quote here. This begins and ends at the top, and the president is behind all of it. He intends to be tactically unpredictable and thinks it's a fantastic negotiating approach, said economist Douglas Eakin, president of the Conservative American Action Forum. But they are in a course that has failure written all over it. What you wind up doing is confusing people, doing incalculable damage to relationships with allies, and shooting yourself in the foot on the economy when regulatory and tax reform are doing so well. Couldn't agree more. as we have said, a negotiating tactic is not confusing investors and manufacturers in your own country. And what the president has done here now is has give the incentive, as we have said on the show, give the incentive of U.S. manufacturers to move outside of the United States.
You know, and this the problem is that once companies make the decision, the president, as we've said, and through his administration, has to make the case for why he's doing this. He's politically, he's going to have to make that case. Because the longer the pain goes on, economically, the tougher it gets politically to withstand that pain and to be immune from it. And so then you get into the decisions that will be made by companies, and they have to make these decisions fairly quickly. You have to start planning for and assume that these tariffs will go on for a number of years. And if you're in manufacturing, steel, aluminum, the cost of those materials, if it's skyrocketing, it can break you, because the cost of those goods is the make and break point most often in business. They can decide to go somewhere else, but once they do, once they have moved, they're not coming back to the U.S. for quite some time. It doesn't work that way. It's not like you can issue the apology, Samantha Bee, and make it all just go away and reverse the actions. It doesn't work that way. They go away, and often they don't come back. So beyond that, on the larger picture, the trade negotiations, the agreements that you have in place with other nations, that's even longer term than 5 or 10 years. You know, for the administration to say, well, we want to, you know, a NAFTA deal that's, you know, that's going to have a sunset of 5 years. That's a blink. That's a moment compared to economies and, of course, nations and how long we're going to be doing business with each other. I don't have a problem with the president or any administration looking to get a better deal. First of all, I'd like them to define what better deal is, what constitutes.
Nobody ever does do
a
that.
Better, no, they don't.
They never define what a better deal is.
They always say better deal, right. And man, that sounds great, right?
What is
Would
it?
You like to have a better deal? We'd all like to have a better deal.
What's the better deal?
What is the better deal? What do they believe is the better deal?
Right. They never explain
it. Well, they never explain it. So first, we would ask them to explain it. And then beyond that, and this is what we're asking of the president, make your case for your actions. Show it to the American people. The American people want to see your math. Don't use the calculator. We want to see why you've done this.
When we talk about the impact of it, just the tariffs on China and a few other small countries that aren't the majority of imports of steel and aluminum at all, has already caused, and with the uncertainty in the market because of what the market thought the president would do, has already increased the cost of steel 40% this year in the United States. Mm-hmm. As we have said, and nobody can answer the question, we said that's why what the president's doing is indefensible, because this isn't against China because of stealing our technology. This is going after friendly trade countries that we have had, you know, trade pacts with that are not any type of national security risk and actually are vital to our national security. But because of what has happened so far and the uncertainty, steel costs already up 40% this year. And that was before the actual tariffs on steel went into effect for Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. Please somebody tell me how that helps the United States. You can't. As has been pointed out already, the president has gone over and over about how the F-35, for example, costs too much. We've got to get prices down. You've just increased the cost of an F-35,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to hurt us in our defense manufacturers in selling our weaponry. Remember, we have a weapons business in this country that we sell to other friendly countries. That's now going to take an advantage away from the United States to sell our military hardware elsewhere. This is now going to make Boeing less competitive against Airbus.
Yeah.
this is now going to make, as we all know, cars in this country, car prices go up. The most interesting thing is when you combine the two, the fact of the steel tariffs, which will again increase the cost of steel, to then the fact that, okay, if it increases the cost of steel here, then some of these manufacturers may want to move. Well, then what we'll do is we'll put a tariff on all imported automobiles and automobile parts. So we're going to force American companies to stay here, sell their cars at much higher prices, which mean fewer automobiles will be sold and skyrocket the cost of goods and services for the American public. For what reason? What's the reason? If you're going to do that, what is the specific reason? Mm-hmm. For what? And as we pointed out with NAFTA, here's what is stopping NAFTA, the major points. Actually, NAFTA with Canada isn't that much different than it was actually before. That's the dirty little secret. Mm. It's the same thing with South Korea.
Right.
There really wasn't much change at all. Even the changes that were promoted weren't changes. Well, now the United States can import 20,000 cars to South Korea instead of 10,000. Well, we weren't even hitting 10,000.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter. As we pointed out when we tore down and got to the minutiae of that trade deal, it was really basically the same. There's not really going to be much of a change in the trade deal between Canada and the United States and the United States and Mexico. Between all the different products, they'll have a little advantages on some and we'll have advantages on others. What's stopping the deal is the United States with Canada, as Eric pointed out, wants to limit it to 5 years. And Canada's like, no way. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is no way. We need to have long-term supply chains in effect so our companies know they're going to have these supply chains at these basic prices with this type of free trade agreement so they have consistency in what they know their prices are going to be for the next decade. You can't do it for 5 years.
Uncertainty means that they can't invest.
And on the other hand, when it comes to Mexico, and this is why Canada does not believe that the United States and Donald Trump actually want a free trade agreement. They think he doesn't want it, that he's looking for any excuse to get out of it based on that. And Mexico believes the same thing. Mexico believes that the president does not want to have a free trade agreement. And why? Because the president has insisted that Mexico pay a manufacturing minimum wage to their workers of, what was it, $16 per hour?
Yeah.
I think it was $16 per hour, which is twice.
More than twice.
Twice the minimum wage of America.
Yeah.
And the president's stating and dictating to Mexico, if you don't pay your manufacturing workers $16 an hour, then we're no deal.
Yeah.
And they're like, fine, no deal. All right, then if we're not going to have any deal, then we need to put tariffs on. But we really can't admit that's why we're putting tariffs on. So we're going to say national security because we, by law, can't do that to you unless it's national security.
Right.
And this is where we're at. Well, mm-hmm. You tell me, would the United States accept any free trade deal where the country we're going to make a free trade deal with said, we're going to dictate in the free trade deal what your country pays in salaries? No, they wouldn't do it. It's a non-starter. So both Canada and Mexico believe the president really is not actually negotiating in good faith. He actually does not want a new NAFTA deal, is what they believe.
Right.
Because those are just complete non-starters. Our companies don't want a 5-year sunset. They're against that. And so we look at it and say, except for the small sector of steel that he's attempting to protect, everything else is being damaged by it. Why is the president doing it?
Well, and that's what it comes down to. This is why the president has to make his case. Because politically, and I don't expect him to, except for, you know, in a brief comment to the media.
Or a tweet.
You know, in a tweet.
Well, it's not going to be
a long form and very thorough explanation.
He actually tweeted out the ultimate two words that is the essence of the liberal mindset on trade. Two words yesterday he just put out in a tweet: fair trade.
Well, define fair.
Define fair.
Define a better deal. Define specifically what are you trying to accomplish?
Right. What do you want? You notice, and we have asked this, We have asked this of those that have you know, taken the opposite opinion. Then what is fair? Tell us what is.
Right.
How do you do that?
I don't think the president is deliberately trying to hurt the nation. But I wonder what the president feels when he tweets about being concerned about jobs lost in China and then imposes a massive, massive taxation, effectively, on the American people just days later.
That will hurt our economy. Yeah. What's, somebody explain what's in the president's mind.
Yeah. I don't get
somebody in the White House. How about the president explain?
I was going to say, how about Mr. Trump explain that for us?
It's unbelievable. And just so you know, because we dealt with this all night, we're not talking about China here.
Oh.
This is Canada, the European Union, and Mexico, who are not been accused of unfair trade practices in steel or aluminum or really anything else, because we've had trade agreements with all of them.
Have the tariffs against China gone into effect?
I think the steel did.
At what percentage versus their percentage and what coverage versus their coverage? In terms of their economy versus ours? Again.
Well, their imports are minor compared to Canada and Mexico.
Well, exactly.
And European Union.
Exactly my point.
And you've seen the 40% increase.
And then tweeting about being concerned after talking to President Xi about being concerned about Chinese jobs? Really? What if one of the governors from the states that's going to be greatly affected, as we mentioned, Governor Abbott from Texas, what if he calls you?
Oh, I'm sure he's getting a call or got a call from Governor Abbott already in the state of Texas.
I hope he did.
Exports are huge from the state of Texas.
I hope he did.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue in Kansas earlier this week was asked about concerns associated with a new farm bill. His response?
Getting a farm bill is really the main concern.
The secretary explained to reporters the necessity of approving a new farm bill into law for the ag sector.
It's very important, the certainty and predictability. Farming's tough enough. There's enough risk in farming without knowing what kind of farm programs you got to deal with.
And while Secretary Perdue acknowledged farmers make market-based decisions as part of their long-term strategy,
the farm programs and the farm bill has a lot to do with the decisions they make now for next year.
2018 Farm Bill crafting in Congress continues, with the current law set to expire at September's end. And if instead Congress decides to extend the current Farm Bill, the Secretary believes this would create additional and repetitive work for both employees and customers.
To extend and have another leg that we have to do for a temporary, come back and discuss the same things the next year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Yeah, interesting that we now have more tariffs against Canada than China.
Yeah, because remember, there was a list, dozens, and this is what I was thinking about before the break. And it was, what, $50 billion? And they actually imposed tariffs against us. We haven't followed through on that yet, which politically the president might be able to win, but what was he hearing? He was hearing from all of those industries, and what China did in retaliation was to hit some of those states that supported him, products from those states that supported him.
By the way, everybody's bringing up China again. This isn't about China.
No,
this is amazing about how we talk about Canada, Mexico, and European Union. Everybody's talking China. This isn't about China.
The debate isn't about China.
I don't know why people, it's like they're not listening, I swear.
Nobody cares about the price of tea in China.
Well, this isn't about China. It's just amazing.
Here's your forecast for Omnitrax.
Much of the West Coast will have cooler than seasonal average temperature, 72 today for Los Angeles, back in the 80s tomorrow. Many locations along the East Coast will be rather warm and muggy today as tropical moisture from Alberto continues to lift north into the region. Virginia Beach today, 86, the forecast high, with rain for the weekend. Widespread daily records are likely to be broken anywhere from the southern plains eastward to the mid-Atlantic and lower Great Lakes. Portions of Texas will see readings soar above the century mark today. Dallas will be over 100. 100 to 105 readings across West Texas today and along the Red River, which would be 10 to 15 degrees above seasonal averages. The official start of the North Atlantic hurricane season begins today. The next system will be named Beryl, then Chris. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is predicting a near or above average season. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Bonus show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. We'll get to Samantha B. in just a second here. But Tim in Hayward, California. Tim, this is going to be interesting. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Yeah, I believe that selective tariffing or collecting duties is actually a good thing. Trump seems like he's using it as a tool. Because if you notice, when he just mentions it, for instance, stock markets move and everything, and people are concerned. But what it turns out to be is selective tariffing, and so he might not even do the same percentage on each country.
So what's your?
Some may even have.
Well, no, they are. They already announced it. They already are.
It's already in effect.
Well, yeah, already in effect.
It's good that they announced it, but once they actually do it, that's a good thing. I mean,
let me ask you this: How is it healthy? How is it healthy to already, because of the indecision that companies don't know what to do, because on raw material like steel, they don't know what to plan. They can't sign contracts because they don't know if steel is going to skyrocket with other corporations. How does increasing the cost of steel by 40% already this year help the economy? And what is the genius here of that?
Because that's not selective, Tim.
Sure. Well, the start of it really is getting out the old in with the new. Out with the old disqualified or those who are under the old rule and old ways of trading, and get those people in that are able and willing to do this type of trading and leading.
Excuse me, we're talking Canada.
There's no old way versus new way. The trade is based on incentivizing both sides. You both get something beneficial out of it, and in this case, we're going to put this on the backs of the American consumer.
Remember, this is hurting. It's hurting the United States. 40% increase
in increase our industry. Yes.
And how do you
immediately do that?
Look, I agree with Trump that producing our own oil because we have it here, and producing as much of it and competing on the world market.
And not buying it somewhere else.
And not buying it somewhere else because and then exporting it because we have a better product, which is a light sweet crude.
Right.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
Nobody's putting tariffs on any. Nobody's putting tariffs or limits on anybody else. By increasing skyrocketing the cost of steel, that is going to affect.
I live in California.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I live in California, specifically in the Bay Area. San Francisco Bay Area. Here we actually, in Hayward, this is my town also, we actually had steel. And unfortunately, that steel mill did go out because of it was actually cheaper to buy steel from other countries.
We understand if you would be quiet for a moment here.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate your call.
Thanks, Tim.
I just every time he was cutting in. So personal experiences don't matter. I lost my job I'm a talk show host today because of the downfall of the steel industry in the early 80s in the United States. Mm-hmm. My personal experiences don't mean anything as to what's going on today. Nothing. No. They don't apply at all. So your personal experience of what happens does not apply to what's going
on locally,
today.
I mean, that is going to happen. The question is,
right,
what you're saying is that that plant should have been protected by the federal government and that the price of protecting it should fall on all American consumers.
Right. And all other industries. That your industry should be protected over other industries. Look, it's this simple. You don't make an economy better by the government increasing the prices of one of the most valuable materials that is used throughout all industries. Mm-hmm. Cars, construction, airplanes, you name it, roads.
And then building the tools to make
building
those
all
things.
The tools to make everything.
It's the economy of a pencil, if you think about it, going back to the whole Milton Friedman thing and looking at everything that it takes to get any given product to the market. Well, looking at steel and aluminum, while that product may not be built or made with steel or aluminum, what are the tools that are used to make that product? What are the tools that are used to ship that product? What are the tools that are used to build the manufacturing facilities themselves? I mean, the housing, the units, the infrastructure itself. You can't get away. This is why many liberals over the years have promoted this, because they know it's that compounding hidden type of taxation. Now, here's the problem. In today's world, it's not hidden. It's only hidden to a certain extent. But much of it is hidden because you don't go back far enough in it. We can talk about things that are made with steel. Now let's talk about the things, all of the steel and aluminum products that it takes to get any of those to the market from A to Z, not A to B. That's what you have to consider, because people, you're going to see this. It might happen, I don't know, over the weekend, and some economists might say, okay, well, but any given product is going to have a 6%. Okay, that product has a 6%. And then the product that it takes to transport that product also has a 6 or 8%. That product that it takes to, again, the tool that it takes to make that product on the assembly line is going to have a greater cost. It is a compounding effect. It is the basis for those materials. And to the last caller, this is not selective. We're not talking about a ginseng farm, with all due respect to the ginseng farmers in Wisconsin that we learned about during the last big tariff blow up. It's not about that. It's not about a Harley Davidson back in the day. Even though, if you look at Harley Davidson saved Harley Davidson. Because even a tariff that would have gone on much longer, Harley Davidson went to the administration and said, we don't need this any longer. And for any government to come out and pick the winners and the losers, because what happened in terms of the motorcycles that were protected, the foreign makes just went to 699 cc's.
That's so, what they did, right?
They started. Mine goes one cc lower. But the whole idea was that if you think you can manipulate business, you can, but you can only do it temporarily. You can, but you can only do it by forcing something, and this is an artificial cost on the consumer. Why do you want to do that? Why?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, because you sit there and you have to question what is the mindset of the president. I believe he owes it to the American people when you have basically come out with a plan that is going to hurt the economic growth of this country, and you haven't explained it, and you've targeted at the friendliest countries, our most friendliest allies, who you haven't even accused of unfair trading practices or of stealing any technology.
Right.
and you're using a completely bogus national security reason. You're lying to the American people about it.
Mm-hmm.
This president who claimed he was going to be blunt and truthful to the American people when it came to workers and jobs and all this is exactly the opposite right now.
Yeah.
When you think about what has happened in the last 10 days from this president talking about him being concerned about the jobs of Chinese to all of a sudden, out of the blue, boom, catching all Republicans off guard by all of a sudden, boom, let's go after the countries that are friendliest to us, our biggest trading partners, who we have not even accused of any unfair trading practices, who have not been stealing our technology, who we actually have free trade agreements with. Let's go at them big time. And especially when you find out what we have put that is completely and totally unacceptable to Canada and Mexico, and you can understand that if that was put on us, because really, American manufacturers don't want the five-year sunset either. That's something that's strictly coming from the administration. U.S. manufacturers don't want a five-year sunset with Canada on a NAFTA bill.
Right.
They want it long-term. They want their supply chains. They want to have confidence and security in what their supply chains are going to be with friendly countries. You have enough with unfriendly countries. So whatever the president is trying to do, I have no idea, but I know he's not being truthful with the American public, and that's wrong. And he is hurting relationships and trade relationships with countries that are our most friendliest allies, and he is going to hurt economic growth and job growth in this country, and he hasn't explained why. And then the country that is actually doing damage, he's treating with kid gloves. And the friendliest countries he's going after with completely unfair trade practices.
Right.
I don't understand it. And nobody else does either. Everybody's guessing. Even those trying to defend the president are just guessing.
It's up to him to make his case.
It really is. By the way, Samantha Bee says she's sorry. It doesn't cut it.
No, it doesn't. You created that. You and a team of writers decided this was going to be brilliant. Why was it going to be brilliant? Because you hate the president. And you then, by default, hate anyone named Trump. And that you were going to call her this name for that wow factor, because that's what you do. You're a professional shamer. You're a professional mocker. You decided comedy really takes a backseat to mockery. Sometimes they're one and the same. I don't know that I've ever been to the point of laughter based on a creation by Samantha Bee. I've watched, I don't know how many promos I watched her on the Daily Show back in the day. I didn't think she was that funny.
Yeah, and as I said, I mean, you can be funny and mock, but her whole plan is to insult and mock. It isn't about coming up with a good joke.
Right.
If you notice, it's not like watching a Seinfeld. It's not like watching any comedian. It's simply she comes up with something. It's like, that was really dumb. Oh, you're just trying to insult the person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's just people. It's just a gathering of people that hate Trump. And so we're just going to name call and put out crude and vile insults. And that's what's funny. So the apology means nothing, because her whole act is to be crudely snarky.
Well, and here's what I would say, because now there's this word coming out. Well, you know, she wants to change, and, you know, she wants to.
No, she can't.
I'm going to tell you don't, because here's the thing. Somehow, I don't know how it happened. Your show's been renewed, you know, by TBS for I don't know how many seasons. It's a few seasons, two or three, whatever it is, based on something that's really not that funny. But my point is, it's not up to me to decide that. There's an audience, apparently, that TBS believes or can see that is there. Don't give up what you do. Don't give up the one thing you have. Continue being a professional mocker, because really, that's about all you got.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The dates and location for the 36th annual Shell Rotella Super Rigs contest are set. Dave Waterman from Shell has the details.
We are going to be at White's Travel Center in Raphine, Virginia. It's a little bit outside of Lexington, Virginia, right off of I-81 and I-64. It was designed way back when as a way for Shell Rotella to give back to the trucking community, appreciation for all they did and all the support of our brand. It's an event that really encourages truckers to get together, whether they're going to show a show caliber truck or just their daily driver that might have some scratches and dings in it. It's open to all of them. And in fact, we encourage, as you know, the working truck. Judging, of course, is going to take place Thursday through Saturday. We're going to have a light contest taking place on Thursday, and then we'll do a truck parade down to Old Town Lexington. There's also be health checks available for truckers on site. We're going to do the scavenger hunt again so folks can walk away with prizes. Just on the Shell Rotella Super Rigs part of it, it's up to $25,000 in both cash and prizes.
They want to learn more. Where do they go?
Well, they can go to Rotella.com. They can also go to whitestravelcenter.com.
This Super Rigs update is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. So besides saying you're sorry, I don't see Samantha B as being gone. I don't see.
Oh, no, no, no. She's not going to lose her job over that. No, not going to happen. No. No, they'll keep doing what they do.
Now, if you say if there was another comedian on another network that said that about anybody in the Obama administration or the Obama family.
Or called Michelle Obama that word.
Or called Michelle Obama that word, yes. Would they have a job in the media?
No.
So if you just...
No, they'd be gone.
If you want to know the double standard, we all know that would be the case.
Yeah.
If that was ever said by somebody against a liberal president's family.
Right.
We all know that.
Bill Maher, go ahead and say that about Michelle Obama. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Or Malia Obama, to make it fair, right? Daughter
right.
versus daughter?
Daughter versus daughter.
Go ahead, say it. I dare you.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.